Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Are you ready for the word? Amen. So I will be continuing from last year's camp meeting. Hallelujah. Who remembers the last scripture I quoted? If you're a student in our school, you can't remember that. I'll take judicial notice of that. Well, lawyers know what I'm talking about. I'll just take notice of that, that you can remember. Acts 2. Remember? Praise the Lord. Acts 2. You know, it's important to understand the message of the Bible. The Bible doesn't have many messages. The Bible has just a single message. Now, that single message can be taught in different ways. But you see, the message remains the same. Now, turn with me to Acts 2. You know, last year and the year before, anyway, most of the years, we investigate the sins of Christ. That is a sacrifice for us. Now look at Acts 2, where we seem to put a lead last year. I start from 32. This Jesus that God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Now that's not referring to you, that was referring to the apostles. That is the 12 or the 11 and the associates. Now he says, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed for this which you now see and hear. Hallelujah. So he begins to explain from the book of Psalms. If you notice very well, in Peter's sermon here, he quoted a whole lot from the book of Psalms. Interestingly, today when people read the book of Psalms, they read the book of Psalms for protection or to fight an enemy. But the book of Psalms were prophetic songs or poems about Christ. Now, pay attention again. He says in verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make your enemies, that's your foes, your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. So he speaks about the promise of the Holy Ghost. Someone said the Holy Ghost. Now go to 1 Corinthians 12:7. Paul's text here, we'll come back to it, but I'll just give you a pre-information and then we'll get back to it later. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation, that's Paul now, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every pastor. What is it? To every man to profit with all. Now, so Paul talks about the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, Peter says, Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted, he has received the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, that word promise is an old word. An old word that means a commitment that you will fulfill by yourself. Evangelion in the Greek. A commitment that you will keep and fulfill by yourself. So, in a promise, only one person is involved. He is the only one that has anything to do. So, if he says the promise of the Holy Ghost, That means that something God, who made the promise anyway, will do by himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will do it by himself. So, just put that somewhere, and you know, in Bible study, which is every church service should have Bible study in their Sunday services. Bible study is not for those who don't go to work during the week. You understand what I'm saying? Bible study is not for those who are not busy Wednesday evening. Bible study is for every believer. Is that clear? Alright. So, in Bible study, you have to pay attention. I found out that a whole lot of people, I might be wrong, but that's my observation, a whole lot of people in this generation are not patient listeners. Sometimes, people will ask you a question on something you have said clearly. I remember one time I spoke about a program, I think it was World Changers Conference, on Facebook. And somebody asked me, when is the date and the venue? And I can't imagine, how can I post about an event and the date and the venue are not there? I'm not an Old Testament prophet. That gives them mysteries. It was very clear. I said, go back. And I said, go back there and look at it. He said, why can't you just simply tell me? Can you imagine? Why can't you just simply tell me? I said, no, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to have you go back and look at it by yourself. Okay? Maybe you don't want us to come. No. I don't want you to come. That's why I put it out. Aren't you so wise? Yeah. So people are, he said, just say it. Let's call the Bible, say, how many Bible verses are we going to read? Just say it. Say it. You are going somewhere to happen. That's what I want to hear. You are a bomb about to explode. So, what will make happen for somebody, God will make happen for you. I don't understand what that means. What I make happen for somebody. What's God's business in that? Why can't the person make it happen back for me? You know? Yeah, Rema. Oh, I caught that. You get it? That's what people want to hear. But you see, some of us are not that intelligent. That's myself. So we prefer to just quote from the Bible and take some time to explain what is there. Hallelujah. So, we said a promise is something God or the maker of the promise will fulfill by himself. Now pay attention here. Why did Jesus, last night we said, why did Jesus come? Do you know, nobody was praying for Jesus to come. Nobody was. There was no prayer meeting going on. They were praying, Oh Lord. Jesus must come this year. No problem. He came because God said he would. And that's fundamental to Christianity. He came because God said so. That's why he came. So, what was the point? We said yesterday, why did Jesus come? Look at John 19. Why did he come? John 19. Let me read to you verse 30. Now, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, a drink, vinegar is a drink. Okay? He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, he said, it is finished. Now, if you didn't understand the Bible, you say, well, it is finished. And they say, well, whatever you are going through, whatever you are going through in your life, it is finished. You say, amen! Because they think the word finished is like finish. Like you finish your food. You get it? So, it is finished. Is it? Whatever you are passing through, because Christ Jesus said it is finished for you. No, really, you need to understand what he is saying. He says, it is finished. What is it? I know, if I come to you, for example, and I tell you, and I say, dear brother, it is finished. I'll only use it because you know what I'm talking about. But if I just say, it is finished, you say, what? You say, thank you. You get what I'm talking about? You say, thank you, it is finished. If I say, for example, today in Nigeria, if I say it is finished, you say, my friend. You know, you will say, thank you. Why? You get it? So, you should ask, what is finished? What is finished? Now, before you go there, put your hands in there and go to Luke's Gospel chapter 24. Luke's Gospel chapter 24. Now, here's Jesus. When he rose from the dead, this was after this statement that he made. You know, this statement was made before he died. Now, when he rose from the dead, in Luke's Gospel 24, he met his own disciples. And some of them were questioning him. And they said, well, a man by the name of Jesus is a prophet. He has been killed by the elders. They still called him a prophet. His own people. After Peter's revelation. A prophet. They called him a prophet. Hallelujah. So, he said, what things? He said, are you a JJC? You don't know what's going on in this town? And they're talking about him. So he said to them in verse 25, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That means the prophets had spoken about his sufferings. Now, when the prophet said it, was he suffering when they said it? No. It was a future event. So, they were speaking about his suffering ahead of time. Now, look at this. Verse 27. And beginning at where? At where? Moses and where? All the prophets. He exported unto them where? In all of the scriptures. All the scriptures. The things concerning who? Himself. So, that means, before he came to the earth, the prophets, Moses inclusive, had spoken about him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, that means, they had said what had not happened before it happened. Am I correct? Excellent. So, having that understanding, go back to John's Gospel chapter 19. John's Gospel chapter 19. When Jesus, therefore, verse 30, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It is finished. Now, that word finished, that is in the present tense participle that he used it, is the Greek word, old Greek word, telestai. Now, telestai is what you call a derived word. A derived word means that there is a meaning that it builds its meaning upon. Now, telestai was used in those days by the tax collectors. The tax collectors will hand you a bill. You get it? Just like, if you took things from a shopping or a mall, and then you get to the the shop attendant, the cashier, and then you say, how much am I paying? Just like if you go to eat food, you say you buy the food. You say, well, give me two pieces of chicken. Can I have the liver, the kidney of the chicken? They give it to you. I have this and give it to you. Then they bring out a receipt, like an invoice, and say, pay. So that means you had owed something, then you are paying, or there's an obligation you have because you're already taking the goods. So the minute they give you that, they're making a demand. Am I right? Am I correct? Then you now pay. Now you don't say, or you have the chicken already, go, this cannot be 500 naira. Please, 300 naira. You say, what are you talking about? You get it? So they say, pay. So when you pay, they say, all right, then they give you an evidence that you have paid for the food. So what you just did is to pay fully. And that's the word telestetai. That is, you have met the obligations on the bill you were given. Are you following this? Are you following this? That means somebody gave you a bill, so you paid. So telestetai. What telestetai I told you is a derived word. There is a word that explains it. Because a couple of people assume, because of that word telestetai, they assume it's used for everything that Jesus was meant to do. So they said, Jesus did it on the cross. No, he did not fulfill his work fully on the cross. If he did fulfill his work on the cross, he would have come down and said, guys, we're through now. You know, he did. So, the word telestetai is from another word, telio. Telio means, so telio explains it. Telio, which is where you get telestetai. Telio means to accomplish a task. To accomplish a task. That is, a task was set for you to do. A job. So, to accomplish, to meet a demand, tell you. So, and how you will know that is not referring to, how we think finished. Look at where it was also used. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 28. Verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had accomplished or had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So, when he had ended, he started to say something, and he got to the end of it. That's one word. Then Matthew 10, quickly. Matthew 10, verse 23. Matthew 10, 23. He says, and when they persecute you in the city, flee into another, for very I say to you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of man become, to go over, to accomplish a task. So every time that word is used, it must be specified. What exactly was done? That's why I use it is finished. Now, pay attention now. In Luke's Gospel, put your hands in John 19 and go to Luke's Gospel one more time. Luke's Gospel chapter 24 again. And I'm going to read verse 44. Luke's Gospel. Are you there? Are you there? These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. Let's take verse 44 again. Let's go now. And he said unto them, these are the words while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? In the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning. So, all things must be what? Fulfilled, which were written. So, whatever Jesus said on the cross was to fulfill what was written. That is, everything he did was to fulfill the scriptures. Something that was said ahead of time. So, just like I said, if you buy something, then you pay for it. You fulfill the task. So, the demand comes before the teleios. That is, by the prophets and the scriptures, okay, these things placed a demand on him. They placed a demand on Christ. So go back to John 19. John 19 now. Verse 30. So when he said, it is finished. You better put the word, it is fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So imagine you say, your poverty is fulfilled. That's not nice. Alright? You know, people use scriptures that they don't study. I once went to preach somewhere, and the theme of their program was, my change has come. And I was trying to find out what they were talking about, so I said, which scripture are you referring to? He said, Job 14:14. A whole church. Okay? So I got on the pulpit and I told them, I will not preach on Job 14:14. They wondered, why is he saying that? I said, because that term, my change has come, referred to death. He never studied it. So I said, I'm not going to use that scripture for you. So there are times that we use scriptures without studying. I was watching the other day, an entire denomination. The theme of their convention was, forsake not the ancient landmark. And thousands of people were gathered there. And nobody could study the Bible to discover that they were talking about Land Use Act. The whole denomination. Forsake not the ancient landmark which our fathers had said. A Jew will laugh at you. Ancient landmark refers to the 12 divisions of land in Israel. That's why when you read that, the next thing it tells you, seest a man that is diligent in his business. He will stand before kings, not before men. He's teaching diligence and honesty. That do not steal somebody's land. He's not talking about traditions and doctrine. Hallelujah. Because in Israel, land was divided in 11 portions. Only Levi didn't take any portion. He said, Levi, I am your portion. So that old ancient landmark referred to how land was demarcated in Israel. But imagine, a whole denomination, thousands of people came together and nobody could check that word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when Jesus said, it is finished. What's he talking about? It means it is fulfilled. That is the scriptures concerning this. You know, he couldn't have said it after he died. He had to say it before he gave up the ghost. That the scripture that says, I'm going to die on the cross, has been fulfilled. That's what he was saying. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Look at verse 28. Verse 28. Same place. But after this, verse 28, Jesus, let's take that together, 28, let's go. After this, knowing that all things were now what? accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said what? I thirst. So, another scripture was fulfilled when he said I thirst. What scripture was that? You find that in Psalm 69, verse 21. That's the scripture that was fulfilled in verse 28. So every time he said, it might be fulfilled, he's referring to something a prophet had said. Let me see how you're following what I'm saying. Come on. Let me see here. Are you following this? Something a prophet had said. So you must be patient to know what he's saying has been fulfilled. What's he referring to? It is fulfilled. What's he talking about? So, we said, to fulfill will mean to accomplish a task, a mission. To accomplish a goal, an objective. So, in verse 28, he fulfilled Psalm what? Psalm 69, verse 21. That was fulfilled by what he said. In verse 30, what did he fulfill? Well, he said it is fulfilled. It is finished. We said he's referring to the scriptures. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So pay attention here. So his words had specific meaning and related to things specifically. So Jesus, wait for this one. That means everything Jesus did on earth was pre-planned and pre-spoken. Is that correct? Everything did, they were pre-planned and pre-spoken. He didn't just think about it. What should I do next? I think I should die. He should do the job. No, don't let me die now. Let me collapse first. You know, he wasn't just acting as he felt. He was fulfilling an obligation. Just like I said earlier, you don't just say, well, the chicken, how can it be 300 naira? I want to pay 200 naira. No, there is a demand he has to fulfill. So, everything he did, there were prior spoken things. Things that were said ahead of him. Now, pay attention to this. So, now, that word, teleion, like I told you about, or telestai, when they are used in these texts, they are a personal goal you set. That is, Christ did not come to set a goal that somebody set for him. Sorry, to accomplish a goal that somebody set for him. Remember when I was in primary school, we were doing this inter-house sport. So we had high jump. The thing was so low, they called it high jump. I think it was this low. So, I went over it. You know, I used to watch Olympics. So I went, psh. So I told them, raise it high. Stupid me. Said, raise it high. Say, higher. I was watching Olympics. That was the day before. Raise it high. So I went back. Now look at me, and I went like this. The way you watch movies. And I went. So, as I went, I actually went below the pole. For a goal I set by myself. And I landed on my left arm. Without jumping the height. So I went, ah! I felt that the hand had removed. My friend Chukwueke, I can't forget his name. He just grabbed me and said, don't worry, I'll help you pull it. And he was pulling my hair and said, don't worry, I will straighten it out for you. I said, oh, come on, leave me alone. You know? Now they took me to Unilag Health Center. They said, what were you doing? Who pushed you? I couldn't answer. Did they push you? Did you fall down? That brother spoke, that boy just spoke up. He was trying to jump high. I said, Jesus. So they put a cast in there. Alright? So Jesus didn't ask people set a goal for him to meet. He set the goal by himself. I taught you something a couple of weeks back and I'm going to build on it. We said, did Jesus' death, was it a sacrifice required under the law? I told you no, it wasn't. Remember that? No, it wasn't. The law never demanded human sacrifice. Okay? I think that is in the greater works. Greater works. You get it. Greater works. I explained that. I took a while to explain that. The law never demanded human sacrifice. There's no verse in the law that says human sacrifice. So when people say that God asked Abraham to bring his son to kill him, no, God, that's not true. That's not what God was doing. No human sacrifice. All right, let's leave that. So Jesus set a goal. So it wasn't Moses who set a goal for him. He set that goal for himself on her behalf. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, so now, pay attention to this. They were pre-spoken words about him. That means his words, the things he was going to say several years down the line, they were spoken in prophecy. The things he was going to do several years down the line, they were spoken in prophecy. For example, look at Matthew 27 verse 46. Are you still out there? Are you still out there? Matthew 27 verse 46. Matthew 27. You know, Matthew 27 verse 46 and John 19:30, they happened at the same time. Am I correct? And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, he's not the one that said that is to say. He didn't say, Eli, Eli. He's also finding time to interpret. That is to say, and that's not what happened. This is the translators that put this one. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, after he did that, what did he do next in verse 48? He drank what? The vinegar. And then verse 50, he cried with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. So put it together. When Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then he said, it is fulfilled. Is that clear? So what was Jesus saying was fulfilled? Psalm 22 verse 1. Is that clear? Look at Psalm 22 verse 1. Quickly. Are you following this? Alright. Psalm 22 verse 1. Do you understand what I just did now? Do you understand what I just did now? How many of you understand it? We took all he said on the cross. Just before he took the vinegar, what did he say? My God. Is that what he said? Why have you forsaken me? And when he took the vinegar, he said what? It is finished. Alright, so look at that. What was fulfilled? You know, when he took the vinegar and he said, I thirst. It was, listen now, it was John that said he did that to fulfill. But he himself, when he said it is fulfilled, he was referring to the statement, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is that very clear? Is that clear? Those were the words of a prophet by the name of David. Psalm 22 and verse 1. My God, is David speaking. Why have you forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my Lord? So, those words were whose words? David's words or Jesus' words? What was David doing here? It was what? Prophesying. He was speaking the words of Jesus before he said it. So when Jesus now said that statement, what happened? It was now. Do you understand that? Let me see how we got that. Is that clear? So when Jesus said it, it was now fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? Alright. So he on the cross was fulfilling what David said by that statement. These were words spoken ahead of time. Everything Jesus said, everything he did, they were spoken ahead of time by the prophets who foresaw his walk on the cross and afterwards. So, pay attention now. So when Jesus died, Bible says in John 19:30, he gave up the ghost. That is, he expired. That's the right word in the proper Greek. He expired. So for 3 days and three nights, nobody on earth saw what he did. So people are still assuming, have people that have different opinions about that. I've heard people say, well, when he died like that, somebody said he went to the air. So he's fighting the devil. Because the Bible says he defeated the devil, so they're fighting. So for 3 days and three nights. That's serious. Now you don't allow your senses guide you. Allow the scriptures to. Everybody there, they didn't know what was happening 3 days and three nights. But what did we just say? We said that everything he did on our behalf had been spoken ahead of time. So whatever Jesus did in the 3 days and three nights, we know it. Obviously, from the cross, he had said that my God, why have you abandoned me? So we know that he was abandoned. And then he faces what we call spiritual death, where he's separated from God. That's what he meant. So in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, you know, when he came back from the dead, and he rose from the dead, we read what he said. He was with his disciples, right? And they began to talk. So he told them, everything must be fulfilled, which was spoken by Moses in the law, in the Psalms, and in the prophets concerning me. So it took time to tell them what happened. And he didn't tell them what happened just like you're relating a story. What happened? My eyes see red, oh. Guys, hell is not easy, oh. I beg no go. You know, that's not what he did. The Bible says he explained from where? From where? That means Jesus did not explain even his own experience without the word. That is what happened to him. He let them see it by themselves. So, you can see what happened to him without being there. So, revelation supersedes experience. I'll take that one more time. Revelation supersedes experience. He said, look at it. It's already there. So, it took time to tell them. Now, revelation produces experiences, okay? But revelation supersedes experiences. So he's letting them see. And say, why would Jesus come back from the dead and take time from the Old Testament to explain his experiences? He's setting a pattern for us. That the teaching ministry must not be built on your experience. The teaching ministry must rely solely on the scriptures. That's what he did. It took time. And then he explained for 40 days. It is then I said, See, Jesus, what happened the first day? When he said it is finished, what were you saying? You guys don't get it. As I entered hell like this, come and see fire. Say, as I move from one place to another, see fire. I saw some demons. One of them is Incubus, the other one is Succubus. How tall is Incubus? Incubus is short. His Succubus is very tall. That was not what he was doing. He spent time with the scriptures. The Bible says, Genesis to Malachi, to explain what happened to him in 3 days and three nights. Listen to that. That means the event of 3 days and three nights took almost 4,000 years to speak about. How important were those days? Almost 4,000 years to document ahead of time. That is, 3 days and three nights can be put together in explanations of 4,000 years. Are you following what I'm saying? Come on, are you following what I'm saying here? How can someone now say that God is mysterious? It took 4,000 years to, 4,000 years Bible seminar to explain 3 days event. And I know many churches that they use 3 days. Talk about those 3 days. Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and Easter Monday. What is Monday? Best Monday. 3 days. I saw some folks on Facebook yesterday, this morning, say, yeah, I'm so glad he died for me. I'm so glad. Oh, this is the day he died for me. So I poked someone, I said, it's been a while I hear you talk about Jesus. At least do this often, not once a year. He didn't die for you for Good Friday. He died for you so that you can talk about it every day of your life. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? Alright, so what were the things he told them? Look at Acts 2. Are you following this? Are you following this? Acts 2. The Bible says, Peter was there when Jesus made the explanations. Am I right? Am I right? So, this is what he said. Verse 24. Whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be holding of him. Now, if Peter stopped like this, and he's just telling about Jesus, we would doubt whether he was paying attention when Jesus was explaining to them. Because what would you expect Peter to speak from? From where? From where? From his narration or from the Holy Scriptures? From his recorded tape of Jesus' story or from the Scriptures? Come on, from where? Okay, so that's exactly what he did. So, in verse 25, for David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, that Hades, the place of the dead, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with your countenance. Hallelujah. So, who said this? Who? David in Psalm 16. Now look at what Peter explains. Let's take verse 29 together. 29, let's go. Verse 29. Everybody. One more time, let's go. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and sepulchre is with us unto this day. Verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. 31, let's go. He seen this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Hallelujah.
So whose words did David speak? Huh? Psalm 16 were whose words? Huh? David or Christ? Huh? David or Christ? Christ. Alright. So Psalm 16 tells us what Jesus said where? On the cross or in hell? Huh? Come on, where? Okay, so that means, wait now, what was Jesus doing in hell? Was he just dying like this? 3 days. Then he set an alarm for the third day. Third day. How far? No. What was he doing? He was speaking. Hallelujah. He was what? He was what? He was speaking. And his words were already provided to us or for us. So Jesus was raised from the dead by speaking. Isn't that similar to how salvation came to us? He was speaking the scriptures. He was speaking the promises of God. The promise that he made. He was speaking. 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 On the cross he spoke. When he left the cross, he was speaking. Praise God. When he rose up from the dead, he continued speaking. Hallelujah. Because Christianity is a speaking faith. Hallelujah. He was speaking. He continually spoke. Now wait for this. What happened to him there? Remember, David lets us know that he was full of joy. Hallelujah. He was what? Full of joy. He was not complaining. Why 3 days now? That's not what he was doing. David said he was full of joy. Go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, now pay attention here now. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. Author means somebody who started something. Finisher means he now completed it. Now, notice the word our faith is not original, the word our. So, is the author and finisher of what? Of faith. Good. Now, let's read the B part. Who? For? Who for what? The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I've always had a problem with this verse. That is, who for the joy set before him. You're like, do you want this joy? You want this joy? Good. It's what 3 days old. This joy. Are you ready for it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So for 3 days. Second day.
This joy is there one day.
So the third day. That's ridiculous. Jesus was always full of joy. Hallelujah. Peter told us that Jesus told them that David had said that he was full of joy. Hallelujah. So, what's that text saying? Now, you know, sometimes you do some little study, so you discover what he's saying and what he's not saying. Now, if I say the word set before me, in today, if I say set before me, for example, this brother, he set before me. That is, he is before me. That is our today's English. Am I right? Am I right? He is before me. That means I need to get to him. Right? Okay. Now, do you notice that there were two things in verse 2? For the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And then he sat down at the right hand. It doesn't say he sat down in the joy. It didn't say that. Okay. So like I said, the word set before in our today's English is for something to be ahead of you. And then you are coming there. But that's not what he's saying. The word set before here refers to a present tense event. An experience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, before we go to Hebrews, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Are you still there? Are you still there? Come on, guys, are you still there? 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. If there is what? First. That word first is the same word set before. So, can we say, if there is present a willing mind, would that be correct? Would that be correct? Come on, guys. Some of you are just lost. You lost your concentration. 2 Corinthians 8:12. He said, if there is the first a willing mind, that word first is the same word Hebrews 12:2. Set before. Are you there? Are you there? So, when we say, if there be first a willing mind, can we say, if there be present a willing mind, or if you have a willing mind? Would that be correct? Come on. Would that be correct? Would that be correct? Okay. So, that means, the word first there means, if you already have a willing mind. Amen? Amen? Let me see if you understand that. You understand that? If you already have a willing mind. So, go to Jude 17. Jude 17. Jude 17. That's it, 17. Jude 7. Jude 7, not 17. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. Now, that was set forth will be what? Are to be seen. Right? Right? Come on. Right? To be seen. Or they are an example. Come on. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Same word. Now go back to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6:18. For by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, which have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope set before us. Now, a hope before us? No. Look at the next verse. Verse 19. Which we have. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So that was set before is a present tense happening. Which we have. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Are you following this? So the word set before refers to a present tense event. Something you already have. Now, go to Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. Now that word in the Greek, I'll just give that to you. It's the word prokemai. It's prokemai. It means to display something you have. To display something you have. Okay? So look at 12. Hebrews 12:1. Let's take that together. Hebrews 12:1.
Same word. Are you there? Let's go. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with what? So great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin that doth so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race which is what? Are we in the race, or we are about to enter the race? Huh? So set before us will be the race that we are in. Hallelujah. So go to Hebrews 12:2. Who for the joy? Huh? Before him of the joy he had. Huh? So he endured the shame with joy. Hallelujah. Come on, guys, are you following this? He endured the shame with joy. Jesus was rejoicing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was rejoicing. He was not complaining. He was not trying to just, let me just be through. No, he loved us more than just to pass through it. Hallelujah. So with the joy he had, he endured the shame. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So there was joy before he died. There was joy in his death. And there's joy in his resurrection. Hallelujah. You see, joy is an integral part of the Christian life. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. So Jesus, in the place of death, he had joy. He's rejoiced. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So he exhibited the joy above the pain and above the suffering. He wasn't defeated in hell. He was a victor there. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. And therefore, look over to Acts 2. Are you learning something? Are you learning something here? Acts 2 now. He says, in verse 28, thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with your countenance. With your countenance. That word countenance there is presence. He's referring here to the resurrection. We'll touch that later. So, Jesus' life was full of joy. In Luke's Gospel chapter 10, the Bible says, in verse 21, here's Jesus, the folks came to him, and then they told him, he said, Master, the demons are subject to us through your name. Then he told them, he said, well, behold, I have given you authority, verse 19, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, Luke's Gospel 10, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, however, in this rejoice not, that the demons are subject to you. What is it? He said, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. 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 And the Bible says, you know, he said, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. They say, rejoice. I have some passages like that. Rejoice because your names are, they do it by command. Rejoice! What's wrong with you? Rejoice, huh? They're preaching grace with law. Rejoice! Rejoice. Believe! Believe! Rejoice! Because your names are, the Bible says, in that hour, he now told them what he meant. Jesus rejoiced. Hallelujah. He's not Robert Powell Jesus. This is the real Jesus. He rejoiced. That word is agaleo. What was he doing? What was he doing? You know, he didn't realize that, Father, I thank you. How would you know that somebody rejoiced? I'm asking. If that fellow is rejoicing, how do you know? I sense it. I really sense it. I sense there's joy in him. How do you know? I just sense it. That means he was not rejoicing.
If somebody is rejoicing, he would do something. So the Bible says Jesus agalioed in the Greek. Agalio is used for leaping. Hallelujah. You know, whoo! Oh! Hallelujah. Jesus! Go, whoo! And he goes, and then I said, what's wrong with him? And he goes, woo! Jesus! Woo! The enemies have caught up with him.
How can that be Christianity? You go to a church service and people are just like, no.
They should be serious. In the house of God, we are serious.
Oh. Joy is a serious business of heaven. Why did Jesus come to the earth? He came to the earth to save sinners. And the Bible says, when one person repents and believes the gospel, there's woo! All over heaven! That is, the most serious thing in heaven is salvation. Somebody gets born again, and God says, everybody get serious! Woo! And we're serious. Hallelujah. That is when we are serious. Glory to God. We say, get serious. We go, ha, 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 ha. Oh, glory. 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 I'm still teaching. Paul says, don't get drunk with wine, we're in excess. Okay? He says, be serious. So, how do we get serious? He said, be filled with the Spirit. You think he said, be serious and be quiet. Woo! 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 Somebody say, why should I laugh? Why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't you? Did you just read? Jesus was in hell and he's rejoicing. He's not rejoicing for himself. He's rejoicing because our names are written in heaven. Woo! Woo! Glory! 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 Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Christianity is full of joy. Who created laughter? God created laughter. He created laughter. God didn't create laughter for comedy. He created laughter for faith. Wait. Isaac is called a child of the Spirit. And a child of promise, a child of faith. And Isaac means laughter. You cannot be in faith and not laugh. Glory! Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's yours. It's yours now. It's yours. Oh yeah, it's yours. New experiences are in your life now. It's yours. Oh, your story is rewritten. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. You sit down. Amen. Now, You guys be careful. Tell your neighbor, say, be careful. Get serious. So what can I say? I can't use serious again. What do I do? Okay, yeah. Pay attention. Sit down. Amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Amen. Now this is camp meeting. Say, this is camp meeting. Alright. We don't have a regular thing that we do, but just we receive. 1 Peter 1, come on. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you. Verse 11. Testifying what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and what else? The glory that shall follow. Now let me run through this because I've done this for you before. Now, he says, the Spirit of Christ, bad translation. The Spirit of Christ cannot be prophesying of what does not belong to it. Alright? So, I've helped you reconstruct that text before. The Spirit which was in them, alright, did testify of Christ. When it spoke ahead of time of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. You can't have the Spirit of Christ until the resurrection. Is that okay? Alright. You can't have the Spirit of Christ. Oh, the Spirit of Christ is a post-resurrection personality. But they were testifying of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. He says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of it. So the Spirit of Christ talks about indwelling. They never had that in the Old Testament. Okay, so it's the Spirit. Now, let me quickly just, stir up your mind a little bit. You know, in the Old Testament, everything they had were either types and shadows or progressive. And that same thing with the Spirit that was upon them. Just put that somewhere. I'll take some time to explain that someday. Now, so, what was going on in the Old Testament was that there was a searching. They were searching. It's because they were searching that in their own words, you will find the words of Christ. They were searching. They were searching. They were searching. Searching. What? They were searching of things that, you know, just like they saw ahead of time what was going to happen. So they were searching. And they were taking those words and saying them. Taking those words and saying them. Taking those words and saying them. So, when Jesus came, he came to fulfill the things that they said. Either in his actions or in his words. He came to fulfill the things that they said. So, what were they testifying of? The sufferings of Christ and what else? The glory that shall follow. So, we have been looking at the suffering so far. The sufferings of Christ. And then the glory that shall come after that. Now, go to John 16. So, do we all know now that Jesus did not accomplish his entire mission on the cross? Is that okay? Is that okay? Fine. And then, we also know that every time, you know, saying it is finished or accomplished, he's referring to what was said ahead of time about him. So, we say, the Bible is Christocentric. The Bible is written about Christ. John's Gospel 5:39. You search the scriptures for them, you think you have eternal life. They are they who testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have life. John 5:39 and 40. That's why it's called the Word of God. He's called the Word of God. Because the scriptures, they testify about him. John 5:39. Okay. Now look at John 16. Pay attention here. This is very vital. John 16. The Spirit
that was upon the prophets in the Old Testament was to search. Right? To search and testify concerning Christ. Now, look at what we received. What we received was different, or he's different. John 16:12. Are you there? John 16:12. Did I say amen? I have yet many things to say unto you, and you cannot bear them now. To say unto you, and you cannot bear them now. He says, albeit when he what? The spirit of what? Truth. The spirit of reality is come. He will guide you into what? All of the truth. Is he searching or guiding? He's not searching. He is guiding into all of the truth. Take note of that because we're coming back there. He will guide you into all of the truth. Now, in Hebrews 1:1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, spoke in time past to the fathers through what? The prophets. So, whatever they had then, the Bible says, sundry times and diverse manners, which means partial revelation. Partial revelation. The spirit of truth does not give partial revelation. The spirit of truth gives what? Full revelation. All of the truth. Don't say all of the truth. All of the truth. So, the spirit on them in the old covenant was searching. Then he gave them partial revelation. But in Christ, today, the spirit of truth guides us into how many? All! Don't say all! You know, all is the language of Christ. All. All. Glory to God. All. That's the language of Christ. All. So, he guides into all of the truth. So, pay attention now. This is very key. Between John 14 and 17, Jesus, listen to this, brother. Listen to this very well. Jesus spoke more about his resurrection than his death. During John 14 and 17. I'll take you through that in the afternoon tomorrow morning. He spoke more about his resurrection. In John 14, he said, for instance, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you'll be also. That's what he said. He's talking about his resurrection. John 14. Remember, when I was younger as a Christian, we had this sister who came to give a testimony to us that she died and rose, not the third day, but she rose from the dead. And then when she rose, just to cover what happened to her, she had a vision. Many people have visions today. I was kidding with a friend. He put it on his Facebook wall, a cloud that had like a horse. He said, it's coming soon. I said, all the investment of your pastor just went down the drain. Cloud. Looking like a horse. Say the chariots are ready to come. When would you believe the word? And we're liking it. Like. If you explain redemption, they won't even read it. But just put cloud and horse. You'll like it. Today is your day of miracles. Say amen and pass it to somebody. That's the kind of Christianity you're living. That's why they can give you comb to take home. And say you comb your hair, the power of God. You comb it back and forward. You deserve it. Just take the comb home. When people are taking comb for power of God, how can they ever know the Holy Ghost lives in them? How? Those things rob you of your inheritance. Home, broom, oil, what else these days? Water, shoe, tie, belt, sand. When people are already taking sand, when you are preaching, they will sleep. So the Bible says, just give us something to take home. Sand,
belt, or feather.
Hallelujah. Are you still there? Where were we? How did I get here? So, Jesus is speaking about what will happen. So the sister, she came back from the dead. Said, brethren, don't miss it all. I go to heaven. I found out I just had a room and parlor. I was, new sister. In my mind, I felt, room and parlor. I will not even enter the city. He said, and I got there. It was not even plastered. The Lord told me, this is how you live your Christian life. He said, hey! It was not plastered. A brother of mine said, look, let me just get there. House or no house? So I'll sort myself out. She said that the house didn't have a roof. What do you mean? The house didn't have a roof. What did he have? Said, in how big? So I said, you have a roof? But I had my thinking cap on. So she said, and then he began to rain. I said, rain? At least I did some geography. Rain is an earthly phenomenon. She did not go to heaven. Because if there was rain, she was around. But you know, I just couldn't say it because she was a spirit conqueror. So I said, Hallelujah. A couple of weeks back, I think, she saw me say this on television. So she said, it was me you are talking about, Abby. I said, yeah, it was you. I said, I talk about you virtually every year. Because you held us in bondage. Amen. So Jesus spoke in John 14, 15 and 16, and 17, about his resurrection. Now listen to this, this is vital. Did you notice also that the epistle spoke more about Jesus' life than his death? The epistle spoke more about his life than his death. The epistles. They spoke more about his life, his death. Look at that, John 16. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you. Yet many. So, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you. That means Jesus had more things to say than everything he said in the four Gospels. In other words, you don't know Jesus in clarity in the four Gospels. Let me say this, this is a blessing. Don't forget, get this series and listen to it, Greater Works. Is that okay? Is that okay? It's available for you free. Did you know that except John and then the book of Revelation, all the other epistles were written before the four Gospels were written? That means they did not rely on the four Gospels to write about Jesus. They did not. They did not. Do you know that? Hardly did the epistles quote the four Gospels. You won't find a direct quote. The one Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, on the day he was taken, he said, this is my body, broken for you. 1 Corinthians 11. I think verse 26. That was the only place that Paul made reference. No other place where the four Gospels quoted. Then Peter also, in 2 Peter chapter 1, 17, when he was referring to the transfiguration, made mention as well, of the four Gospels.
But after that, they hardly quoted the four Gospels. Paul never was available in the four Gospels, yet he taught about Christ more than every other person did. I told you yesterday, you know Christ by what? By what?
Revelation.
Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, you cannot bear them. That word yet, John 16:12, is a Greek word eti, E-T-I, used 93 times. Okay? Now, every time you use that word, it means longer, remaining. It refers to something much more. That means there was much more about Christ than the four Gospels had to say. That's not just it. There was much more about Christ than he himself said about himself in the four Gospels. Much more. I have yet many things to say. That means he knew that. He knew that. I have yet many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. So, note this and write this down. That means whatever Jesus said in the four Gospels must be subjected to the things he did not say. The things he did not say were superior to the things he said. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? I'll take that one more time. The things he did not say were superior to the things that he said. So, we will take the things he said and put them in subjection to the things that he did not say. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Just like people are confused about the parables. They say, well, parables of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise. 5 were foolish. Virgin means they were all born again. Says who? I preached that years ago. Say the 10 were all born again. They were all born again. Say, don't forget, look at it again. They all had a lamp. They had the spirit, the lamp. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. I said, there was oil there. They all had the spirit. But after a while, brothers and sisters, it is not the spirit to receive our salvation that will take you to the end. So I said, do you have the anointing for the rapture? Someone who? And the brethren said, oh! Anointing for the rapture. Say yes. Do you have it? Say the 5 you don't have. Say this anointing cannot be borrowed. That's why the 5 could not give the other 5. Say, hey! What? So I said, they now went to buy. What does it mean to buy? It means to lay yourself down. To pay the price. Can you pay the price? But when they went to buy, they still did not enter. You get it? Finally, they said, well, this is my Bible. Oh, they said, this is my Bible. I love my Bible. Hug your Bible. Kiss your Bible. And they will not open to it. Throughout. I love my Bible. It's the greatest. Come on, read your Bible and stop all that ceremony. I love my Bible. Read your Bible. Read it. Not for hugging. It's for reading. Hallelujah. So, how did I get here? What was I saying? Huh? The Bible. So I said, well, the first thing I did not know, I said, Christ is the groom. I said, the 10 were bride. Ah. 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 But nobody was thinking. When people are not thinking, just say anything. They say, they were called friends. Hallelujah. Friends. of the bride. Hallelujah. I could not be talking to a Christian. So simple.
So many times, we need to realize that the words of Jesus in the four Gospels are to be subjected to the things he did not say. Paul was totally oblivious about the things that Jesus was doing. He was oblivious of them. In Galatians chapter 1, he said, my gospel is not after a man. No. He said, it's not after a man. He said, the gospel I preach is not after man. He said, I did not receive it, verse 11 and 12, after man. He did not. He said, how Christ died. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, according to the scriptures, how he was buried, according to the scriptures, how he was raised again the third day, according to where? The scriptures. So, don't forget, the epistles carried much more clearer explanation of Christ than the four gospels. Now, this should get your attention. Did the epistles focus on 3.5 years of Jesus? Huh? The epistles spoke from the 3 days and 3 nights. So the 3 days and 3 nights and the events after, they tell more about the character of Jesus than the 3.5 years that he spent. That's important. So the epistles explain Christ to us. The epistles reveal him. That's why Paul used the term revelation. Revelation is the word apocalypsis. It means to open up what was a mystery. There are two words Paul will use. Mystery, then revelation. Mystery means musterion. Or musterion is taken from muho. Muho means what was not said. What wasn't said. Mystery does more to speaking than to seeing what wasn't said. So it calls it more. Mysterion. So we have revelation, apocalypsis, which means what was not said was now what? Huh? So the mystery was concealed in words, so the revelation will be revealed in what? Words. So nobody knew Jesus by visions. It was by the spoken word. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Not by visions, but by the spoken word. What was said. So you find those words, mystery, mysterion, and you find the word revelation to uncover it by speaking. Now, I said something, and go back to 1 Corinthians 15. I said, the resurrection of Christ was the focal point of the epistles. The epistles focused on the resurrection. The epistles spoke about his death, no doubt. But there was more about his resurrection than his death in the epistles. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Look at verse 14, 1 Corinthians 15. Let's take verse 14 together. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14. Are you there? You're there, say amen. So let's go. If Christ be not what? Then is our preaching vain and your faith is also what? Vain. Look at verse 17. Let's go. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet where? In your seat. It is the resurrection that validated his death. The resurrection validated the death. His death could not do without the resurrection. It's in his resurrection that his death became legal and valid. And we'll touch that later. That's a very key fact. If Christ be not raised from the dead, then your faith is vain. If Christ be not raised from the dead, then you are yet in your sins. Very valid truth.
Look at Matthew 16. Let's look at one discussion. We were there yesterday night. Matthew 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Then they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So he says, now who do you say that I am? And then they spoke out. That's Peter now. Say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living. Please pay very good attention here. This discussion is so important. Then Jesus responds to Peter and says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, what does flesh and blood mean? That means by human acquaintance, you did not come to this conclusion. This conclusion goes beyond what you can see. This conclusion was given to you. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now wait. Then pay attention to this discussion. Don't forget. Verse 18. I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, you are Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Two words. Stone and rock. Now, they don't mean different things. They mean the same. Because Jesus himself, pay attention now, Jesus himself is called the stone which the builders disallowed. He has become the head of the corner. So it's not that Jesus, the rock, we are the small rocks. No. They mean the same thing. Now, when he said, I know some folks have said that this refers to the Pope, that Peter became the first Pope when Jesus said that. That's interesting. But the first Pope had a wife. Isn't that interesting? But really, that's not what he meant. Peter didn't understand what he said. Peter thought it was just a new nickname. It's true. I used to be Simon, but now my new name is Jesus Loves Me. Some people change their names. Yeah. My name was Fa Wole. I'm now Jesu Wole. So, when they check the book of life, your name is no longer there. It's your old name that they find there. Hallelujah. That's a joke, really. Don't write that down. I was joking. Alright. So, now go to 1 Peter chapter 2. How will Peter understand this statement? Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you. So, we can say like this. Concerning Matthew 16, 18, Jesus had what? Yet many things to say about it. But they could not bear it now. Now, you know why they couldn't bear it in the moment. It's not difficult to know. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. 1 Peter 2 verse 4. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's take it together. Let's go. Come on. 1 Peter 2, 4, are you there? Let's go. To whom coming, as unto what? A living stone. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Talking about Jesus. Look at 25. And you also, hallelujah. So I say we also. Say me also. What are we? We are lively stones. Don't mind King James. It's the same word, living stone. Say I'm a living stone. Say you're quiet now. Say, I'm a living stone. No, no. Say like a living stone. Say, I'm a living stone. I say, Christ is a living stone. You also are living stone. Glory to God. So, Jesus said to Peter, in knowing who I am, you discover who you are. In knowing who I am. You come to see
who you are. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, told Peter. Now look, what Jesus said that day was about you and everyone who believes. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Go back to Matthew 16. Follow that discussion. Peter is like many believers today. As he said that statement, he stopped listening. He just stopped listening. And Jesus continued speaking. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we assume that Jesus today is talking about a continual building. He's building his church. Jesus is building his church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail. No, no. Let's study what he was saying. When he says the gates of hell, is the same word we read earlier when he says that Jesus spoke from hell. It's the word Hades. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The gates of Hades. Now, people assume the gates of Hades refers to the authority in there. Well, let me leave that this morning. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now, when he used that word, it's the word to overpower or to have control over. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail. It's an old word. Shall not prevail against it. Now, against what? Did he say, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? That is not what he said. If you lose concentration, you are not different from Peter. So I'm about to say, get behind me, Satan. So pay attention now. He wasn't talking about the church. Listen very well. Upon this rock, I will build my church. That word build my church is not, I will keep building my church. That's the assumption we think we thought he meant. It's the same word, hoikodomio in the Greek, which is used for founding a house. Something that is done once. Just like in Matthew 7, where it says that a man, he built his house upon the rock. He built. Not a continual process of building. No. He built. Matthew 7, 24, 26 and 28. Not 26 and 24 and 26. You find in Matthew 21, 33. Then look at Matthew 21, 42. Turn there. Matthew 21, 42. Are you still there? Are you still there? Are you still there? Watch this. Let's take it together. Let's go. Did you never read in the scriptures the stones which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. Same thing he was saying. Is something that has already happened. To build. Hallelujah. To build. Look at 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, what are we? We are built a spiritual house. We are built. We are built. Oikodomio. We are built. 1 Peter 2:5. We are built. A spiritual house. Built a spiritual house. I've built up a spiritual house. Can you see that? Can you see that? So it says, upon this rock I will build my church. Present tense, continuous, or once and for all. Talk to me. Huh? Huh? Okay. So what it says, I will build my church and the gates of hell. Okay. Wait. So Jesus was already mentioning his resurrection. Because when he said the gates of Hades, he was letting you know he was going to go there. He was going to die. But Peter did not pay attention. So he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He was referring to his resurrection. That is, the gates of hell will not stop my resurrection. Because it's in his resurrection that he built his church. Is that clear? Then he says, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In his resurrection, the church was born. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So the church was born how? In his resurrection. And from where was he raised from the dead? From the grave or from hell? Talk to me. From the grave, from the sepulcher, or from the place of the dead? So where did he build his church? When he rose from the dead. So when he rose from the dead, the gates of hell did not prevail against what? The church or his resurrection? Huh? Come on, talk to me. The church or his resurrection? Hallelujah. Is that clear? Very good. That means my resurrection cannot be stopped. So now, upon his resurrection, now pay attention here. This one is important. Peter kept wondering. He kept wondering. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus had already mentioned his death and then his resurrection. He said, and I will give unto you what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. That whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter wasn't paying attention when he said that. Notice this. He mentions two places. Wherever you bind where? On earth. Shall be bound where? In heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed where? In heaven. Now, was this present tense then or for his resurrection? Huh? Now, look at what Peter said afterwards. Afterwards, Jesus was now talking. So he was telling them, he said, tell no man what you're saying. Then verse 21, he says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples, verse 21, how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and be killed and raised again the third day. And Peter, look at verse 22. And Peter did what? Took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Lord, be far from you. Lord, this shall not be unto you. Is it not silly? That means he was not paying attention. So when he said, I will give you the keys, the word keys we've seen before is resources, riches. I will give you the resources. Now, the resources of his resurrection, I'll give it to you. And whatsoever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth is already lost in heaven. Hallelujah. So keep those words. So Peter didn't listen. Did you notice something? Watch this. Look at me. In that discussion, Peter spoke about Jesus. Jesus spoke about Peter. Peter is saying, you are. Jesus says, you are. In the revelation of Jesus comes the revelation of the believer. That is, Jesus reveals us in him. Peter spoke about Christ. Christ speaks about Peter. The prophet spoke about Christ. The Spirit of Truth speaks about the believer in Christ. Take note of that. Peter spoke about Christ. Jesus spoke about Peter. So that means to Jesus, the latter is more important than the former. Jesus saw more preference in speaking about you in him. So, Peter spoke about Jesus. Jesus speaks about Peter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus' commentary in John 14 to 17 was more about his life after death than his death. So, when was the church born? The church was born upon the resurrection of Christ. That's when the church was born. So, take note of that. That's important. So, if he says, I will give you the keys, that means the resources will be available upon what? Keys? Is what? Is what? So, we must find out what was available on the resurrection. What became available? Now, I'm going to take you through a short journey. I'm going to run through it quickly and then take some more time in the afternoon. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? What was available before his resurrection? What was available? Before Jesus died, what was available? In John's Gospel 14 verse 12. He said, he that believes in me, the works I do, will he do also. Then he says, greater works, because I go unto my Father, which refers to his resurrection. So, what was available at the resurrection? Let's first of all see what was available before the resurrection. Now, do you know this? And I pay very good attention. I'm grateful to God for the message of grace. Even though I'm not a grace preacher, I'm just a Bible preacher. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful to learn about the sacrifice of Jesus for sins and how people know that, you know, it's about Jesus' death for their sins. I'm grateful. But you see, there was more in the epistles than that. Now I said to you, what was available at his resurrection? What was available before it? Do you know that forgiveness of sins was available before Jesus died? Why are you going quiet? Let's look at the four Gospels. Luke's Gospel 7 and Luke's Gospel 5. In Luke's Gospel 5, Jesus is speaking here, and then he says to a man, he says, man, verse 20, your sins are forgiven you. Is that true? Is that true? Come on, is that true? Your sins, and the word is aphesis, which means you are released from the punishment of sin. Not that your sins have left you. The word aphesis means you are released from the punishment of your sins. So, in Luke's Gospel 4, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, verse 18. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. That word deliverance is the same word forgiveness of sins. So Jesus preached forgiveness of sins before his death. He preached forgiveness of sins before he rose from the dead. In fact, look at Luke's Gospel chapter 7. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following this? Luke's Gospel 7. There was a woman who was a prostitute who came to Jesus. And you know, she began to rub her hair on Jesus' feet. Today, that will have hit social media. The Savior has sinned. Something like that. And then, what did Jesus say? Jesus says in verse 47, wherefore I say unto you, our sins which are what? Which are what? Which are what? Did Jesus ask her to, did Jesus give us details? These are sins, number one. Number two, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Let's take verse 48 together. And he said unto her, what? 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 Was this after his resurrection or before it? Was this after or before it? Now I'm asking again. Was forgiveness of sins available before Jesus died? Huh? One more. Do you know righteousness was also available? Before Jesus died. The Bible talks about a man, Abraham. Abraham.
But Abraham has many sons. Many sons as Father Abraham. I am one of them. And so are you.
Is it by force?
So let us praise the Lord. One step.
What? Lie down. Right hand. Left hand. I know they don't sing songs like that in our own children's church. We don't play with the gospel.
Turn around. Jump up. Run down. Father Abraham.
Now tell them, you are righteous. No!
Father Abraham has many sons, many sons.
Then you're a bastard. Because the Bible says Abraham believed God. And it was accounted unto him for what? Righteousness. Are you still there? Had Christ died? Huh? No. Was Abraham righteous? Was Abraham righteous? Is that difficult for you to answer? You are not sure. You are not sure. Ah, he should be. No, he was. Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Why his sins counted against him? Huh? Were his sins counted against him? David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Was he talking about the future or a present tense? Then. No, that was present tense. Because Abraham was declared righteous by God. Is it true? Is it in your Bible? Come on, is it in your Bible? Hallelujah. Are you listening? Good, good, good. So Abraham was declared righteous. Right? Amen. And the Bible says Abraham believed God. The Bible says, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Brethren, believe God. Abraham believed God. Many people have not wanted to ask, what did he believe? He just believed God. He just believed God. But the Bible says in James 2:9, even devils believe and they tremble. Are devils also righteous? So many people say, Abraham believed God. Brethren, are you believing God? Abraham believed God. Isn't that what he does? What did Abraham believe? What did he believe? Hallelujah. What did he believe? He didn't say Abraham will believe. He said Abraham believed God. What did he believe? Look at Galatians chapter 3. Are you still there? Come on, guys, are you still there? Abraham believed God. Galatians 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What did he believe? What did he believe? Let's take verse 7 together, everybody. Let's go. Know ye, therefore, are you there? They which are of faith, the same are who? The children of Abraham. Verse 8. And the scripture. What? Foreseeing that God will
justify the heathen through faith, preached before what? The gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. What did Abraham believe? What did Abraham believe? What did Abraham believe? Hallelujah. So Abraham believed what? He believed the gospel. Now, he says, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You know, people have tied that to material things. That's why I want to give up and say, Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. They are really mine. I am blessed in the morning. Or you can say, no. I can say, I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed in the evening. Say, that's wrong. It was a revelation. I'm blessed in the morning, in the noon, in the evening. Say, oh yeah, Abraham. We're all confused. What he says, in you shall all the nations be blessed. He already told you. He says God will justify the heathen. The blessing of Abraham is righteousness through faith. It's not money. Did you hear me? The blessing of Abraham was forgiveness of sins. Righteousness through faith. That is why the rich man, even though he was a child, had the money, but did not have the blessing. Lazarus did not have the money, but had the blessing. Do you understand that? Look at it. Put your hands in there. So, what did Abraham believe? Why did Abraham believe? Why did he believe? Why did he believe? Because the Bible says, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Firstly to the Jew, then to the Greek. For therein is what? The righteousness of God revealed. So we can call the gospel the message of righteousness. The message of justification through faith. Look at this. Acts of the Apostles. Are you still there? Come on, guys, are you still there? Acts 3. Glory to God. Let's take verse 25 together. Acts 3. You are the children of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham that in your seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. What was that blessing? Verse 26. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. What is the blessing? What is the blessing? Turning every one of you away from his iniquity. What is the blessing? Righteousness. What is the blessing? Forgiveness of sins. Let me see if you understand that. Come on. Is that clear to you? Come on, let me see if you understand that. So what is the blessing of Abraham? Righteousness through faith. Not money. Not money. Righteousness through faith. Now, don't forget that. Abraham had that, and he was declared righteous. Am I right? Am I right? He was declared righteous. He was. Hallelujah. That gospel was preached unto him. Hebrews 4:2 says, the same gospel that was preached unto us was preached unto them. The same gospel. Talking about the Jews from Egypt or Kadesh Barnea to Canaan. The same gospel that was preached. Do you know? So, let me ask you. Was righteousness available before Jesus died? Was healing available before Jesus died? So what then are these resources? Hallelujah. Healing is available. Righteousness is available before the resurrection. Do you also know that, wait for this one. Abraham was declared righteous, but He still went to hell. Isn't that true? Are you quiet now? Are you quiet? Are you a Jew?
What can you talk about Abraham that guy?
Jews are particular about two people, Abraham and Moses. Two people. And both of them are no particular about the Jews. Somehow. You know, Abraham didn't, Abraham still went to Hades. Jesus described Abraham in hell. And he is righteous. His sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what was it about the resurrection? What was it? What exactly was it about the resurrection? We just found out. How close here? We just found out the righteousness was given to Abraham. Righteousness was given to him. You know, David was also righteous. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? And Solomon, now Isaac, they are declared righteous through faith. But yet Jesus says to us, I will build my church upon this rock, upon my resurrection. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. You know, go to John's Gospel 14. He that believes on me, the works I do, he will do also. I'm not believe here. You have believers here. Say, I believe. His works I do. But look at verse 12, John 14. And greater. Hallelujah. He said, greater. Now, what were the works that he did? No, Jesus cast out devils. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He said, the works I do, he will do. He now says, greater. Now say, greater. Oh, come on, guys. Say, greater. Hallelujah. Greater. Why? Because I go to my Father. That's a term many people have not interpreted well. We're about to do that. Amen. Because I go to my Father. I've heard people say, well, what he was saying was this, because I'm not going to be around. You guys are going to outstrip my record. Abba. Said the works I do, he will do. And greater. What does it mean, I go to my Father? When he rose from the dead, in John's Gospel 20, verse 17, he came to the earth. He was seen by a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. The Bible records that she held him. Oh, Rabboni, she said, she held him. And he said, touch me no longer, for I ascend to my Father and your Father. My God and your God. What does it mean? What does that statement mean? He said, you will do greater because I go to my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Because I go to my Father. David had told us something earlier about Jesus. Psalm 110 verse 1. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And Peter told us that when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was exalted to the right hand of the Father. So when Jesus was saying, because I go to my Father, he's talking about appearing, he's referring to the exaltation that happened to him, or better still, in him. We'll examine that later on today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't forget what we just studied. Was righteousness by faith available before Christ's death? Huh? Was healing available? Forgiveness of sins. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? Miracles? Are you sure about that? So what then was in the resurrection? What was in there? What was in the resurrection? What was in there? We're about to find out. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands toward heaven. Bless you. Worship. Give him praise.